Well, we are on the road and we are in Madison, Indiana, right on the Kentucky border. More about that later in this podcast. We're going to talk about back roading only. No freeways, no interstates, only back roads on our trip from Minneapolis and St. Paul all the way down to Virginia. So, you'll hear me talk about monetizing the actual vehicle. I'm driving Mobile Podcast Command, which means trying to figure out who I can get to sponsor it, what kind of packages to do, and I don't need to belabor that, but I will say that donations are vastly appreciated as soon as I start rolling. Diesel is definitely getting cheaper as there is a glut now suddenly on the market, which is perfect timing for me, but for people who want to help, if you want to go to my website at the Bob Davis podcast.com. Look for Mobile Podcast Command, which is a big red ambulance, which is on the right side of the screen. And scroll down and you'll see a donate window. You click on that, takes you to PayPal, and you can donate $5, $10, $100, $10,000. And I'd really, really, really appreciate it because that is what is fueling this vehicle. And there are people who donate all the time. Wayne, Sue, Ed, many of you donating all the time to the Bob Davis podcast, and I really appreciate it. But this is for the people that don't necessarily know that they can donate. And I hate asking for money, but when I'm on the road, it goes right in the tank. And so your donations are appreciated at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can get the Bob Davis podcast along with the Obama's podcast at Spotify, on iTunes, Stitcher.com, Spreaker.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play Music. Alexa works with Tuned In or Tune In. I can't remember what it is because I never go there. What else? I mentioned iTunes. And by the way, there's going to be some changes regarding iTunes because it's going away. But there will be new apps, and I'm sure the podcast app will be even more robust than it is now. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting, but especially the shares on Facebook for my video posts and retweets on Twitter. And again, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, I have two sponsors for these travel podcasts at this point in time. One of them is ReliaFund, because what ReliaFund does is enabled me to get paid when I'm on the road and people cannot mail me checks, because I have a ReliaFund button on the page and clients can pay directly with a check through ReliaFund. So everybody knows about payment processors, but do you have a payment processor that can integrate with your accounting systems, whether it's QuickBooks or something that somebody has custom developed for you? Well, that's what ReliaFund does. They are all about providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared, and they've been doing it for 20 years. They were at the forefront of the payment processing revolution in this country. Remember, ReliaFund, no long-term contracts, secure, and they are technology-focused, which means they can work with your developer to integrate their systems with your systems, really whatever they are. 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040. If you call, you will talk to Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry. Great guys, and always ready to help you guys out. If you go to their website at ReliaFund.com, by clicking on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, it will take you to their contact page. You can tell them about your business and see if they can help you at ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. Yeah, in Madison, Indiana, right on the border with Kentucky. And So this has been an interesting trip, and I just want to talk about this a little bit for Bob Davis podcast listeners. So, yes, Mobile Podcast Command is a Super Duty Ambulance 2000 with the Ford 7.2 or 7.3 diesel, I forget, but it's one of the best engines they ever made, and it is a tremendous traveling platform. Great power, great torque. It's a relatively compact vehicle because it doesn't have a giant camper hanging on the back that's 23 feet long or anything like that. So it's really maneuverable for highway, and I've had it on the PCH all along the California coast where you're doing these hairpin turns, all up and down mountains out west. There's plenty of power to head up hills, and it's very functional for that. But in terms of it being an RV or a camper, It's an ambulance. You can't really stand up in it. It's still an ambulance. I'm standing just at the doorway here in a Walmart parking lot in in Madison, Indiana. And it's primitive. And I've been posting some Instagram and some Facebook pictures of some of the stuff. And we're either rigged to record, or we are rigged for sleeping, or we are rigged for cooking some bacon and eggs with the back doors open. So it's just, that's the deal. And I love kind of messing around with pushing this thing to its absolute furthest envelope, just in terms of functionality. And so there's a lot of work. You know, I've got a portable toilet that I got to bring in, and I don't have a shower in this, so I have to stop at yoga studios. But the good news is that I get to interact with people. So this trip is to celebrate the general manager of the Bob Davis Podcast's birthday. She doesn't know that I'm coming because I know that she's going out to my sister's farm and she can't listen to the podcast. So I've timed this just perfectly so that she won't hear this. But the idea was to, I haven't taken a trip in a very long time in Mobile Podcast Command. And the idea was, I'll take a trip. I want to go to the border. More about that later in this podcast, because I'm going to record it a couple of different times today as I head east. And the plan today is to head east from Madison. So we're going to cut southeast across Kentucky. But before I get into that, I want to talk about back roads. So when I first started taking these trips, when I got this vehicle, and I want to say it was 2014, you know, I went all over the country and spent a lot of time on these on the interstates, because, you know, I was a little concerned about, I mean, this thing had bald tires, it needed a new muffler, it needed a new front end, it needed new shocks. There were a lot of things that I still drove it, and it was, you know, it was a little dicey, mechanically speaking, and not in terms of the engine, but just in terms of everything else. So all of that has been done. New tires, you know, new front end, new shocks, you know, new water pump, all kinds of stuff to kind of get this thing up to functional levels in terms of long term. And yet it still made it up and down mountains and all over the place. So I love this vehicle. It's great. But I've got to the point now where I will prefer a back road over a interstate any day. And so almost all of my trips have been on back roads, and that is what I am doing this time. So I started this trip out by heading down Minnesota 61 or Highway 61. It's not Minnesota 61, it's Highway 61, U.S. Highway. So I'm concentrating on either state roads or the old, you know, U.S. federal highway system, which was built after World War I and has been updated over the years. So, you know, I don't know if you call these secondary roads or national roads. So Route 30, Route 50, Route 61, you know, that kind of thing. And the first thing I did, there's a couple of pointers in terms of doing this that I think is really interesting. I don't use Google when it comes to mapping, unless I need to figure out where I am. So I'll pull up Google and, you know, get directions to Highway 421 or something if I'm in a town and I can't figure out which way to go, because there's no point in doing that. But in terms of all navigation, I use the compass, and I use a physical Rand McNally Atlas, or a trucker's atlas. I got four or five of them here in the vehicle, and I navigate using the maps so that I can stay on these back roads. So when I left Minnesota Thursday or Friday, I can't remember now, I headed down, the idea was to go to Chicago, and so I headed down Highway 61 all the way down past Winona and by La Crosse. But instead of crossing over into Wisconsin at La Crosse, I went ahead and went down into Iowa and followed 61. And then I got to make sure I look at the map, because it's impossible to remember this stuff when, you know, you're sitting in a town. And it's so funny, because after trips, the reason I'm taking the time to do this in this podcast is that after taking a trip, you don't remember half of the places that you went through. So this is why I'm doing it this way. So I came down 26. I came down from Minnesota on Highway 61, which I guess turned into 26. And the idea was to follow that all the way down the to to cross over into Illinois, way on down by Cibola, crossing into Savannah, Illinois. So basically, it was 52. And I went, you know, Highway 61, and then took 26 and just stayed along the river there, all the way down, it's the Mississippi, all the way down to Illinois. The only problem with that in terms of crossing is that that wasn't a problem there. The problem that I encountered was later in Illinois, because the idea was to angle down on 52. So I was going to the Indiana border just south of Chicago. So instead of going all the way across and then down, so taking 94 to 39, which I hate 94 anyway, so 94, 90 to 39, and then coming straight down 39, all the way down past Chicago to the south suburbs, and you still have to go further south where I was going. Well, that was fine until I got into Illinois near Dixon, which is the hometown of Ronald Reagan, and they started detouring 52, and I was in a time crunch, so I had to jump on 39 at that point, and I was already pretty far south. Really pissed off about it, too. I was really angry because I don't like driving this thing at 70 miles an hour. I don't like pushing it that hard, and of course, highways around Chicago, where I grew up, you really got to be on your toes in terms of changing lanes and everything else, because people do, you know, I'll tell you one thing, they know how to get on a freeway. That's something in Minnesota that people seem to struggle with. How do I get on a freeway? You get on a freeway, you go on and you floor it. And you go all the way over to the left lane at 90. That's what you do. That's how we learned it. In fact, my friend and I this weekend, Steve, who I went to high school with, we were talking about how when we took driver's ed, they had us in LeSabres. And I remember we had some, you know, a coach was the driver's ed guy. And when we went to go get on the freeway, he goes, floor it and head all the way over to the left lane. That's how we were taught in driver's ed to enter a freeway. So the only issue with these back road trips is you really have to watch the map and you really have to be aware of side options so that you continue. The idea here is, my theory with back roads is that you're angling down as opposed to squaring off. So the interstates are built for access to big cities. They are built not necessarily for effective transport. They're built for trucks, basically. So when you are traveling, it's a much more relaxed way to travel, because you go through these great towns, you have great experiences, and you get a sense of what's going on in the world, in our country, by traveling through these back roads. And you get on roads that people don't use very often. I got on farm roads, I've been on dirt roads, I've been, you know, all over, you know, Iowa that way, and it's really the way to travel. I'm a huge endorser of it, and my theory is it actually saves gas because you're not driving 70 miles an hour. This is where I am today. So I came through all the way down through Illinois until I had to get on the freeway, and then from my friend's house, who's right on the border with Indiana, more about that later, I headed down 41 and then angled over in Indiana. I gotta find Indiana here. How did I see? I don't even remember how I came over, but it was really great that trip. Of course, Indiana is the next page, and I can't turn the thing. Okay, so I came down 41, which is right on the eastern edge of the state, all the way down 41, past Clinton to Terre Haute, came over on 46 through Bloomington, straight over on 46, and then angled down from Columbus onto 7 to Madison, Kentucky. From here, I'm going to take 421 and angle, continuing 45-degree angle south to Virginia, to the border between Kentucky and Virginia, which of course is Hatfield and McCoy country. So that's the plan in terms of where we're headed, and then we're gonna bivouac in western Virginia, sort of near the mountains off of Route 60 in Virginia. And this is a simple trip because I hadn't taken a trip in so long. This thing was sitting in the garage, the heated garage, thank you. And I didn't want to take any trips. And I'm going to talk about this in the second of this podcast, because I'm trying to figure out how to monetize this vehicle and monetize these trips, because they are very expensive. First of all, you have mechanical issues that always happen. We spent yesterday repairing the corner lights, and that turned into a huge deal. And so you always have issues and problems that have to be addressed. And it's never simple. So there's that. And then, of course, diesel fuel. And that, you know, is great if you're making donations to the Bob Davis Podcast. I appreciate that. And you do that by going to the website at thebobdavispodcast.com and hitting the donate button. And I'm trying to roll up my windows because it's starting to rain and I can't find my keys. What was I saying? And I'll take any level of donation. But what I'm really talking about, and what I'll talk about in the second half of this podcast in terms of monetization, is finding sponsors for these trips, because I'm not just traveling around doing the van life thing, which is great. I have no problems with it. I think it's a wonderful thing for people to get an RV and just live in the RV and spend their days going to national parks and visiting friends or taking odd jobs. I think that's really cool. But what I'm doing is making these trips for a specific purpose. One of the, you know, I had intended to go to the border, and one of the reasons that I decided to take this trip this way, is to shake this thing down again. So I'm going to need new tires at some point. And just looking at different issues and also playing out in my mind different options for covering the 2020 primary campaign, the caucuses campaign in Iowa and South Carolina and Florida again and California and so forth in 2020. So I'm working on that, and that's next year, and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with that. But I think there's great value in touring the country and getting little slices of life, which are too numerous to talk about. You got to let that stuff sink in to be able to actually understand what you've seen and what it means. But nobody is doing this. You know, you don't have reporters crawling the country looking for stories. Yeah, you can drive around and look for crazy people to talk to. That's one thing. But in terms of analysis and trying to understand what's going on, well, you know, I'm a person who's spent a lot of time reading and looking at issues. You know, I talk a lot about the media in these podcasts. And it's one of those things that once you have sort of a trained mind in terms of observation, I think there's a lot to be drawn from these trips, you know, across the country to these different parts of the country that nobody wants to visit for whatever reason. So you hear a lot of talk about rural America. Most of the time what these reporters do is they parachute into Madison, Indiana, and they go around to the bars and they find people to talk to, and then they say, this is what's going on in Madison, Indiana. Well, as I have shown in my podcast about my grandfather's hometown of Gloucester, Ohio, you know, got a place like Gloucester, Ohio, which is a mining town, which is depressed. 20 miles down the road, Summerfield, Ohio, is like a haven. It's booming for very. And I did a whole podcast about why is it that one town booms and another dies, and this happens all the time. So if you went to Summerfield, Ohio, you'd have a completely different idea about the state of Ohio than you would if you went to Gloucester, Ohio. And nobody's going to go to Gloucester, Ohio, because it's hard to get to. So this is what happens when you drive through the country on back roads. You get this experience of actually different lives, different people who have different motivations than you, who are living their lives differently. And if you do it without judgment, if you just say, this is where I am and this is what it's like, and don't say, this is what I think they should do, or this is what's wrong with these people, or anything else. Why does a man fly a Confederate flag on a pole out in front of his house? You know, what, you know, is that a good thing, a bad thing, or should we feel bad about that, or is that something that, you know, that's the kind of thing. And so someone would drive past that and see that and draw that as an editorial comment about that town, and it may not be correct. So that's my motivation for doing this, and there's a purpose to the travel. So that's kind of the idea with these travel podcasts and what I'm doing for this, whether I go to the border, or whether I cover the primaries, or go find some other thing to go to, like the pipeline protest, or Sturgis, or some resort, or some event that is happening. That's the overall objective, and we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, I have a lot of people to thank in this podcast and in these podcasts for helping me out to get this trip and make it possible. And they're also very interested in helping me with the border trip as well. But with the Ebola, I might be holding on the border trip. But anyway, I'm going to start with Matt Feehan at American Auto Body, home of the WOW experience. They are in Brooklyn Park at Lakeland Avenue North, 8208 Lakeland. So here's what Matt did. Matt, every time I back this thing up, I'm really watching now, but I have been bashing the left rear of this vehicle until I lost a taillight and a bunch of other stuff, and it wasn't drivable. And Matt fabricated a bunch of parts, pulled out the rear, straightened the frame, and didn't charge me because he wants to help out. And I have to say that is just a hugely positive thing, and great to have Matt help because he solved that problem. I had to go to Everest Ambulance Supply to get a wiring harness for the light and a bunch of other lights, and Matt was kind enough to spend quite a few hours getting this thing squared away, in terms of making it look normal again, because it looked like a crazy person drove it, because a crazy person does drive it. I gotta say thanks to Chris Webb at Complete Auto Service in Blaine for getting this truck squared away. Somebody told me, oh, you've got a coolant link, you need a new water pump, blah, 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 blah. Those guys did a quick pressure test, cleared a blockage in one of the hoses that leads to the radiator, and this thing is all good to go. They checked everything out, did an oil change, and Chris is amazing, and Tony's amazing at Complete Auto Service in Blaine, and thank you guys a ton. They have two other locations if you just check them out online at Complete Auto Service. So, a couple of things. If you're going to do back roads, don't tell people you're coming, because what's going to happen is then they're going to expect you at a certain time, and then you're going to push, and that's going to cause problems. So what happened on Thursday night, I mentioned that I was going to angle down through Illinois to this place down on the border, let's just say, for lack of a better term, Grant Park, Illinois, which is right on the Indiana border, in this way on the south side of Chicago. I mean, we're not even talking city, it's farm country, right? It's 35 miles south of the city, and that's south of the southern border of the city. So lots of detours, and finally got frustrated and jumped on the freeway. Well, I almost did that tonight, but I didn't. So what I was doing coming through, I went all the way down, angled down through Indiana last night. You heard that. And then today it was a question of how do I angle down to the Virginia border? So when you're going to Kentucky touches West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, and Virginia. And I'm going to Western Virginia. So I don't want to go through West Virginia, and I don't want to go through Ohio. So I decided I was going to angle down, and I came into Kentucky at Madison, which is Madison, Indiana in particular, and that is right, it's down south of Louisville, and actually further south and further west of Louisville. And so then I spent the whole day kind of just angling down and going over to get over to Virginia, to Pikesville, Kentucky, which is right on the Virginia border, and then I decided I would stop. And I figured, well, how long is this going to take? I left at noon from where I was in Indiana, and now remember, if I had just taken 64, I would have passed through the state in a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 hours at the most, and I decided to angle down. And what happens is you get lost, and you have to backtrack and turn, and even with maps, and I mentioned earlier that I only use the maps, and physical maps. And it's just fun because you're navigating and you make mistakes and you figure other things out. And in the process, you get to see what's going on in the world, and also you get to experience these places that you never would have experienced. Let me tell you, Indiana, Kentucky are both beautiful states. Kentucky is unbelievable. And like most states, the southern part and the northern part are totally different. Kentucky is just, I drove through horse country. I drove through land, that looked like a golf course, and it was for horses, and it was a huge horse farm. I drove through hollows and, whatever those are, hollers, and, little mountain hideaway towns, some of which were, pretty battered. lots of trailers, lots of Confederate flags, but also lots of really, really nice hideaways back in the woods. And that's what you get to see. And you get to go through these little towns, which are really, some of these old towns in Kentucky are just really nice. I'm in Pikeville now, which really I haven't, I'm at the Walmart, so I have no idea what the downtown section is, but a lot of these towns in Kentucky are based on the river, whatever river they're near. And so river trade in this country, starting with the B&O Canal, became a big multiplier and growth multiplier for some of these really small, quiet little towns that by the 1840s and 50s were, you know, relatively large cities because of river trade. And so that's what some of these towns in Kentucky are. They have squares, but you see a lot of buildings that were built well before the Civil War. You see a lot of buildings that were built in the 1870s too, but not like you do in Ohio and Illinois and Iowa, where most of the building took place in the 1870s, or in Minnesota, where a lot of it took place in the 1880s and really after the turn of the 20th century. So it's a huge educational experience. And I'm just going to say one final thing, because I think it's really important to say. So, and this is what I was thinking today. So, you know, I was actually in another Walmart somewhere today. Maybe it was the one where I started. It was a grocery store yesterday, someplace in the middle of Indiana. And I was thinking of that John Cougar Mellencamp song, Small Town. You know, I live in a small town, I was born in a small town, and I'll be in a small town till the day I die or something to that effect. I don't know. But I just remember that song, Small Town. And, you know, there is a natural inclination to denigrate small town America. And I went into this store, and the people there were really nice, and the checkout people were really nice, and they were talking to each other. And I thought to myself, I walk back out, and I've never lived in a small town, so this is my own, you know, crazy thinking. And the main thing about all these small towns is really small businesses. And so all kinds of stuff, glass repair, construction, contracting, architects, insurance agents, all that stuff. There are small car repair, transmission shops. And so these people that live in these places are these small business owners, a lot of them, or they work for these small business owners. And it's just interesting because it seems like we want the big time. We want New York City and we want Los Angeles, and the people in those places keep referring to rural America as broken, or there's something wrong with rural America, whether it's the opioid crisis, which, yeah, that's not hitting the big cities at all, or anything else. There's something wrong with these rural Americans, they're all white supremacists and so forth and so on. I go into these little towns and I'm just a guy passing through, and I get gas or I stop and buy something at a store, and it's almost an envious existence. Some of these towns are really, really nice, and you can tell there's a sense of pride in the town. Came out of a place tonight, and they were talking about politics. You think they were talking about Donald Trump? No, they were talking about the mayoral election in this town. I don't know, one of these towns along, State Route 7, which is a windy, twisty, turny place. And I went in there to the Kroger to buy my steak. And when I came out, there was a bunch of Kentuckians talking about the guy that's running for mayor and what a jerk he is. And I just think that's fantastic. And I guess the final thing that I want to say is that this is something that you have to do without judgment. I find people these days they don't mind going on the back roads, but they're going to judge everything. Look at these podunks, or look at this trucker that ran me off the road, or whatever. It's all full of judgments, and they're negative judgments. So if you can do this without judgment and just let people be people, and if they've got a Confederate flag in their yard, fine. If they talk funny, fine. If they're whatever you think they are, whatever the stereotype supposedly is for people who live in rural America, if you can let that go, you can learn an awful lot about what life is like and what people actually do, and what it's like to live in a town where you have to cooperate with people and to get things done, which is true anywhere. I find that my best observations come after the trip, sometimes 2 weeks to a month later, when something comes up and I'll say, it'll cue something that I saw somewhere. And oddly enough, I will remember exactly where I was when I thought that. And so it's an educational experience, travel being an adventure and also an education. It's an educational experience, and yet you don't really even fully realize what you've taken in on the trips. I love it. I love rural America. I love these towns, whether it's Kentucky or Utah or California or Florida or Arkansas, all over the country. I love this kind of travel. It's slow. It's low and slow. You're not going fast. You better not make plans to be anywhere at any particular time, because you're not going to get there, and then you're going to get frustrated. But if you're driving for 12 hours, you stop and you visit these towns, you have a cup of coffee. I went to a yoga place tonight to do yoga, and I was sitting out there and I was looking at the place and I go, I think I've been here before. And it was in outside of Lexington. And I thought about it. I thought, no, I couldn't. And I walked in, and when I registered, I said, I think I've been here before. And she goes, oh, well, let's check it out. And she pulled it up on the computer. And she goes, yeah, you were here in 2015. I mean, it was the, and I looked it up the same way on the internet. It was like, oh, that's right by the road that I'm on. So I went there, and I had done the same thing in 2015 and completely forgot that I had been there before. And I love that feeling of not even remembering where you were, but yet you retain the lessons. All right, now the only thing that would be more fun would be flying, to do one of these trips and fly. And if you're a pilot, I know that you love to fly. If you're going to the EAA air show at Oshkosh for the big fly-in, you want to be safe in that pattern. Maybe you should check out Alpha Systems at the air show. They'll be in Building 3. I think Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. If you want more info, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 839. We are on the road, partying, having a great time, drinking coffee, and making steaks at the Walmart. Podcast 839.
Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one it's gone and proved and true. Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine.